Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for June 16th, 2025, in the Hebraic month of Sivan, Sivan 2585. My name is Chaplain Robert Zuluaga, and we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence with us and in us. I thank you, Lord, that we are in very tumultuous times. We're in times of great shaking, and we're excited that we're hid with you, that your plans and your purposes for us are good, that your intention is to bless us, to deliver us from all sorts of forces that have held us in bondage in our planet, in our nation. And you desire a new future, a full future, a future that brings in the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we face our ups and downs with joy, with fortitude, and with the confidence that you lead us, we ask you to guide us tonight. Give us wisdom and understanding of what you would impart to our hearts here as we gather this evening. And we give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, Debbie, I will let you start off. It sounds like you have a pretty good handle on all the stuff that's been happening this week. So I give you the floor to give us a report for those who don't pay attention to all the things going on in the news.
My goodness.
I know, I put you on the spot.
Well, I am shocked at the No Kings event that popped up all of a sudden. You know they've been planned, but they're just trying to hurt what our president's trying to do. You know, there's nothing that's been taken away from me by President Trump and what he's doing. He's got to deport these illegal aliens. And if he doesn't do that, you know, by our next census, we're going to be only 1 in 6. Everyone else will be an illegal alien. So if he doesn't get them now, our country is not going to be successful. And the Republic's going to have to pick up and clean this mess up. I have no problem if the president wanted a military parade in D.C., if that's what he wants, to celebrate Flag Day and our military, that's fine. Maybe we should do more of it. I don't like what California, what L.A. is doing. Karen Bass and Gavin Newsom seem to think that they can do anything they want. But since things have started, deportations are going to increase significantly, specifically in the blue states. So it's going to get interesting. And then I'm on the justice call, and that blows up in our face. I can't believe that the Republic can't have a way of protecting us on phone calls. So if anyone wants to know about that, needs to go back and listen to the call. I can't believe there isn't money somewhere to get a phone system where we can be private, because the infiltrators can get into all our calls.
How about what's happening in Israel?
Oh, wow. I think the world is safer going after the Iranian, going after the enrichment of the uranium and what Iran and has. I think that's important. It's huge, but as they say, Israel will be last.
Yes.
I I pray for our leadership every day, and I can't believe that James Buchanan Geiger is putting up with all this. They're trying to blame everything on him.
You know, he's got big shoulders. He's been at it a long time. He's been holding the, I see him as a little Dutch boy, holding his hand, finger in the dike for over 10 years through thick and thin, all sorts of stuff. And we need to lift him in prayer. In fact, how would you like to lift the three or four things that you brought to our attention? How would you like to lift those up in prayer right now?
I would be happy to. My Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight to pray and praise what you have done for us. You are the creator of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. You have done so much. And we want this republic to be for you. And you know that. We pray for Israel, Iran, and everything going on. We pray for the Chinese people that seem to be involved in a lot of stuff in our country. We need for them to come clean. I pray for the Republic and the infiltrators that are still among us. Wherever they are, they're having town hall meetings now. I pray that, as Sandy says, they can show themselves so we can see who they are. But we must continue on. We need to get our ducks in a row, and I pray that we will. We've got to be more diligent about what we document, what we put in paper, so we can have this for future reference. No one's doing that. I pray that that will come forth, and I pray that the Republic can get a phone system that will protect us all. In the name of my Lord Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now give a shout back.
Hallelujah. You know, you talked about the No King event, and I heard a great prophecy by a black prophet. I had not really heard him before. His name is Tommy Araomi, and that's Tommy Araomi. And he did a really good, I found it very interesting. He comes from a black man's perspective. I say that to say that he led the understanding of his prophecy by first starting out showing something by that. Who's that black-haired lady who's on? She's a commentator, you know, entertainment show or whatever, and she's just always harping on Trump.
Joy Reid.
No, the black-haired one. She's been around a long time. What's that lady's name? Or maybe she's... Well, my point about it is not so much to get caught up on who she is, but just that he took it from a liberal's perspective on a couple of his opening clips, and then he led it to and they showed the military parades of Trump's and different things, but he then led it to the prophecies that he's given through the years, and he took it to the fact that, no, when they try to make it, you know, mock Trump for being a king and all this, well, we don't look to a president to be a king, but there is, as we cry regularly, there is no king but King Jesus. And King Jesus is the Lord of our land. He is the Savior of our land. And so this a veiled thing of no king, trying to poo-poo Trump and his desire to show pride in our nation and stuff is really also a slap in the face of Jesus. It's like trying to create this sense of lawlessness or a sense of, oh, it's only the people. This tone of democracy it's not healthy. But anyway, so he was very, very excellent about this week. I will try to post it. I'll try to post it in the wire. I don't have a place to post it otherwise. And the other one I did post in Wire for all of you. I hope you watched it. It was by a prophecy by Jeremiah Johnson. Jeremiah Johnson, I've not really heard him before, but he gave a powerful, powerful, urgent warning for 2025. And his teaching is very, very strong. And I would encourage you, it's worth an hour of your time to watch it. I'll try to touch on some of it here this evening. He started it out with a contrast between the U.S. presidential election in 24. He had a dream of Kamala Harris and one vision, which was a mirage in a desert of water. And people were following this mirage. Millions of people were following this mirage in the desert, symbolic of a false hope. And then, because there was really no water there, millions of people perished. And he contrasted that to Donald Trump. And he said that we are in a season of war and conflict. And a season of war and conflict is coming like we have never seen before. Who do you want to lead was supposed the question. Do you want a war president in the likes of Kamala Harris or Donald Trump? And obviously the people decided in Donald. And the recognition is he's a wartime president. The only hope we have, we recognize, we're not looking to Donald Trump. We're not looking to politics. We're not looking to the government as the solution of our nation and where we are. We do look only in Jesus Christ. So he talked about the angelic activity and the angelic support that we have for provision, protection, and warfare. So let's go over to Hebrews and have a look at what he says. Hebrews 1, verse 13 and 14. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So it's really a time of God tells us, command ye me. And we are to command the angels. We are to command those to go before us into some of these situations that we're seeing, some of the situations that Debbie told us about here earlier. We can call the power of God into it. We can call the power of heaven into our circumstances to allow God to move swiftly before us. I don't know how many of you are following in the calendar, but I want to go back to Saturday, actually. It's just really builds up well for where we are today. And Saturday's contribution to the calendar was Laura Lee Cooley Ministries. This is not the end. It is the beginning of the fulfillment of your destiny. Many have been in the biggest transition of their lives. Things from the past have been resurfacing. The agony and pain of what you have walked through comes to remembrance. The things that were lost and stolen, and the years that it has taken to get to this moment in your life, where you are finally at the cusp of stepping into the fullness of your destiny. It seems that many things have come to end. Feelings of displacement, and the asking of what's next? What now, Lord? The Lord is restoring your strength, birthing a greater boldness and confidence in you that can only be birthed through Him. There is a deep work of the Holy Spirit happening that is making room for what He is about to bring forth. Not only is He bringing forth what He has promised, but there is increase, provision, favor, and promotion upon you. I felt the Lord saying that he is about to show you his goodness and that he did not forget what he promised. While many have waited for this appointment time to come, I felt the Lord saying that not only is his timing is here, but it's coming with interest for the waiting. There has been a great increase added to the promises. I'm reminded of a verse in Psalms. If you turn to Psalms 27, verse 13 and 14. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Oftentimes we find it difficult to wait in the Lord's timing. Oftentimes we have that desire that Abraham and Sarah had to create an Ishmael, to get ahead of God and his promises. You may have been hidden for a long time and have felt that all you do is wait, linger, but the time has come to be revealed, to emerge, and coming forth carrying his power to go forth and do all that the Lord has called you to do. Timing is truly everything. What the Lord has many birthing right now is not a small feat. It is the greatest birthing and transition that you have yet to encounter. It is imperative that you allow the Lord to do what he needs to do now. As you do is bringing you forth over this significant threshold where destiny is awaiting you on the other side. I was also reminded of the verse in Isaiah, Isaiah 66, verse 9. Shall I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I, who give delivery, shut the womb, says the Lord? You will rise in greater strength. Many have felt like they got the wind knocked out of them through the many trials and warfare. But you are rising up from the ashes with greater strength and endurance than I have ever known. That can only be found in Christ. You will walk into all that the Lord has for you. Things are falling into place and coming together. I saw these next few months being pivotal of such alignment, strategic moves, and the Lord positioning many for greater breakthrough and to step through the doors he has prepared for many. He's bringing the right help that you need for these new assignments. He's ordering your steps and movements to be in the right place at the right time. For some of you, and this is not a word I would normally share, but he's bringing end-time marriages together. He is brining your helpmate. Many of you can only go so far into your calling, and the Lord knows you need your helpmate to go further. I felt this strongly from the Lord. They are on the way. The timing of these divine unions is in this moment and timeline and this new era that we are in. I felt this sudden urgency from the Lord to get your house in order, finishing things up, prepare, and get ready to cross paths with your helpmate. The title of this word says that this is not the end, and it isn't, although it appears that way. However, this is where you are supposed to be in this moment of time. Many don't make it into fulfilling the fullness of their destiny because the painfulness of the process to get there is honestly hard. You're at the cusp of the beginning, and this is a colossal change. Get ready to manifest. And there is a colossal change. Get ready to manifest. I want to encourage you in this. I sense this strongly about the next few months. The Lord is bringing many things that he has spoken forth. It will be one thing after another coming to pass. And it will be just as he said and promised it would be. Stay yielded. Stand and stay in faith that your Kairos appointment is here. I was at a Father's Day barbecue yesterday, and one of the ladies was from Montana, and she says, you know, I really love the simplicity of the cowboy's prayer. I don't know, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. There's actually two different versions of it, one by Badger Clark and the other by Clem McSpadden. So I'm going to go with the Badger Clark cowboy prayer. Oh, Lord, I've never lived where churches grow. I love creation better as it stood that day you finished it so long ago and looked upon your work and called it good. I know that others find you in the light that's sifted through tinted window panes, and yet I seem to feel you near tonight in this dim, quiet starlight on the plains. I thank you, Lord, that I am placed so well, that you have made my freedom so complete, that I'm no slave of whistle, clock, or bell, nor weak-eyed prisoner of wall and street. Just let me live my life as I've begun, and give me work that's open to the sky. Make me a partner of the wind and sun, and I won't ask a life that's soft or high. Let me be easy on the man that's down. Let me be square and generous with all. I'm careless sometimes, Lord, when I'm in town, but never let him say I'm mean or small. Make me as big and open as the plains, as honest and as the hoss between my knees, clean as a wind that blows behind the reins, free as the hawk that circles down the breeze. Forgive me, Lord, if sometimes I forget, you know about the reasons that are hid. You understand the things that gall and fret. You know me better than my mother did. Just keep an eye on all that's done and said, and write me sometimes when I turn aside, and guide me on the long dim trail ahead that stretches upward toward the great divide. Turn to the contribution for in the calendar for Sunday, yesterday, June 15th. It's by Nate Johnson. He says, I heard the Lord say, it is time to unearth. Recently, I heard the Lord say, it's time to unearth. As the Lord spoke these words, the picture of an archaeologist digging in the ground kept coming to me. And the word discovery was so loud in my spirit. As I leaned into the Lord and listened, I heard, my people, I am calling you deeper. I am calling you deeper into the place of intimacy with me in this hour. As there are discoveries in me and deep mysteries that I am uncovering and unveiling to you that you have never seen or received. I say unto you that I am increasing revelation in this hour that is so deeply rooted in my truth and in my word that you are going to discover and unearth levels of wisdom, divine insight and intel in ways you've never experienced before. I could hear Daniel 2:22 surrounding me loudly in the spirit. Quote, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. out of Isaiah 50, quote, "My people, there are deep mysteries in me, and I am inviting you into. I'm bringing you deeper into the revelation of my nature and who I am, and the treasures contained within my word. And I am increasing your insight to show you what is known and what is hidden and what lies in darkness. I say unto you that there is such a mighty increase in discernment, but many are trading the invitation into discernment for distraction. I say unto you in this hour, you must deal with distraction. I say unto you, you must die to distractions in this hour and stand firm with your face towards me as flint." You'll find that in Isaiah 50, verse 7. "I say unto you that those who keep their minds upon me, I will keep in perfect peace." Isaiah 26, 3, "I say, look unto you, look at what you are looking at. For there are many who are looking in the wrong direction. There are many who are being dazzled by distraction. The invitation before you in this hour is to come deeper, is weighty, and it is of the utmost importance. My people, for you to navigate the days ahead and that which I am leading you into. I say unto you, my people, repent of distraction. And where you lay down distraction, not only am I bringing you deeper into discipling you in discernment, but I will give you greater direction. The enemy is attempting to keep you bound in distraction, so you will not move in the increase of discernment and direction that I am releasing to you in this hour. I say unto you that I am bringing you into a greater awakening of what it looks like to live a life of governing in and with me, as you seek me deeply in the place of intimacy, walking with me in humility and reverence, and listening to my voice. As you stay close to me in this hour, I am directing you and I am discipling you. I am teaching you my ways in greater ways, but you must repent of distraction and detangle yourself from it by arising in ferocious focus upon me. For where I speak and where I am leading, my grace will empower and carry you. Come to me and ask me. Ask me where distraction has taken your focus. Allow my spirit to shine my light upon these areas, and where you die to these distractions by arising in ferocious focus upon me, I will bring you into a greater place of clarity and understanding. I'm increasing understanding in many ways in this hour. I'm increasing divine insight and discernment and bringing forth a clarity in many ways. But you must be focused to lean in and listen to what I'm saying. The enemy is attempting to keep many bound in his lure, to keep them rehearsing the natural realm and natural circumstances. But I say unto you, there is great understanding I'm releasing right now of what I am saying and what I am doing in some areas, that those who have ears to hear, let them hear. I say unto you, give not your ears to other things above me. Come to me before anything else, and listen to what I'm saying. Listen to my voice and my word. Listen deeply, for understanding is being increased. Out of Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I then heard the words, things are not as they seem. As I heard these words, the Lord began to show me that there were many who were looking at natural realm circumstances and situations, and I could see them attempting to deal with the circumstances from a natural realm perspective. And they were not seeing shifts that they believed the Lord had spoken to them in this hour. I then heard, I am pulling back the curtain on many things. I am revealing that things are not as they seem. I'm giving you the strategies to pray and to declare the wisdom that is needed to move forward to see the shifts that I have spoken. I say unto you that the enemy is coming against many right now to keep you distracted by natural realm circumstances before your eyes. Alyssa, I have to mute you. I'm getting a lot of background noise there, dear. I say unto you that the enemy is coming against many right now to keep you distracted by natural realms, circumstances before your eyes, to lock you into a natural realm perspective and hinder your movement and hinder you moving in authority with your prayers and declarations to bring a shift in the areas that I am calling you to govern in. I say unto you, take your eyes off the natural realm. Come up higher, lean in and listen. Wrestle and wait until you receive my Rhema word and my heavenly perspective. I say unto you that many of you are about to break through into a major increase of my heavenly perspective if you turn away from distraction and looking at the natural realm and look deeper and listen to what I am saying. I'm inviting you into a deeper unearthing, a deeper place of receiving the mysteries of my heart, my word, my revelation, my truth. Be lovers of my truth. I'm inviting you into a deeper place of discernment. Truth is being unearthed and revealed to those who will seek and those who will listen. The treasures of my truth are coming forth. I'm bringing those of you who are hearing what my spirit is saying and following my leading into a greater place of training and awakening of what it looks like to live from your heavenly seat with me. And if you don't know what that means, if you go to Ephesians 2, it's a beautiful scripture. In fact, I'll pause in this reading of this to read it to you. A lot of us pray from a position of, please, Lord, will you do this? And he's saying in Ephesians 2:6, he says this. He says, well, I'll back up a bit. I'll go to 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Jesus has done a finished work. We are raised up together with him and we get to sit in the heavenlies. So that's what he's referring to here is recognize that you are part of Jesus' finished work and that you can fight this battle from a place of a finished work, an authority of a work that's already, we've already overcome the devil. So going on, it says, and not led and bound by the earthly realm. There is a greater deliverance of the heart and mind of being tethered to natural realm perspective that I am bringing forth in this hour through the shaking and through the pressure. Who will ascend the mountain of the Lord? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts. From Psalm 24. The level of unearthing that is coming forth in this hour is unprecedented. The levels of revelation I am releasing, found in my word and the increase of authority I'm awakening in you and teaching you to walk in, requires ferocious focus upon me. Many of you are being set free by the unearthing and the revealing that is coming forth and a returning and revealing of the ancient pathways. And as you walk in them, you will find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. I am looking for those who ask, who will look, who will listen, and who will obey my ways. You know, as I read this earlier, I thought, boy, that is such a synchrony with one of the parables that Jesus gives us in Matthew 25. You know, I couldn't quite understand the parable of the 10 virgins. I couldn't understand what it meant to not have your lamps, have oil for your lamps. And after reading this, I went, oh my God, that's exactly what Jesus is telling us. He wants his focus to be on him, not to be distracted by things of this world, by the distractions of the devil trying to get us upset and worked up in all different directions. And see if that fits for you. I'm going to read the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, and just see in your own world whether it fits, where you find yourself getting distracted. He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to show you something, but the things of this life distract. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamp is going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go gather to those who sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." I was talking with Alyssa before the call, and she has been challenged with some stuff with school and whatever at the finish of the school year. But Alyssa prepared a beautiful prayer last week, and I want her to come on the call and talk about it in the context of what Wade presented to us last week. So, Alyssa, go ahead and share what's on your heart regarding that, and I will unmute you. You're unmuted on my side.
Hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
I'm sorry,
it looks like you got cut off on the call, too, so.
I did by accident because I started in my family room and then my husband wanted to watch TV, so I moved to my bedroom and then he came to bed, so I had to move back to the bed into my family room and I noticed his cup of tea, so I moved it into the sink and it just entered me into the meeting as I was putting it into the sink and it made a loud noise when I entered. I was like, of course, perfect timing. I guess that's just a Jersey girl thing. I don't know. We're loud. So I'm trying to remember, hold on, because let me just pull up the prayer because, my prayer was in such alignment. I had originally had this prayer written, a few days prior and I went to go send it to Jean Hertler, like in an individual one-to-one. And then I forget what happened, but I think I meant to delete something, to rewrite something, and instead it deleted the entire prayer. And I was devastated. I was like, what? So I had to rewrite the whole prayer. from, you know, trying to remember what all I had. So then when Wade was talking, I was like, wow, this is really strange. It's like so spot on. God's just giving me a lot of positive reinforcement lately. So, you know, he talked about, obviously he did talk about the putting on the armor of God, and anybody who knows me in the Republic knows that putting on the armor of God is like paramount to me. And I try to make sure that I include that in my prayers. Let's see here. I'm trying to think because I have so much in this prayer. There's so much in this prayer for me to talk about. I honestly, I'd have to like go through and make a bullet list of it. But what I will say is I did send another prayer to Jean today. It's a short prayer. You want me to say it real quick?
Well, absolutely.
It's a short one. Okay, hold on 1 second. So let's see here. All right. In Yeshua's name, Heavenly Father, we praise you for your glory and honor. Thank you, Father, for your supernatural healing of Soren from the inside out. We continue to believe and we receive on behalf of Soren your mighty healing through continued blood transfusions of Yeshua's holy divine blood, continuing to cleanse Soren's body down to the atomic cellular mitochondrial level. Leave no trace of illness, no disease, no defects or injury behind, Father, because in Yeshua's name, Father, we declare and decree your mighty power of the Holy Spirit has used this time to anoint Soren for the big job he has ahead of him as your heir, Father, and as the heir to Jean and David Hertler, your loving children standing up for you each day in the Republic. We bless them in the name of Yeshua and all their heirs, and we call Soren to your special calling, his duty to report, sir, if and when it is your will. Send in your if and when it is your will and in your time, Father, in Yeshua's name, amen.
Well, I believe it is in his time and in his will. It's funny you should send that prayer because this morning I woke with Soren in my mind. I could literally see him. He's smiling. He's at peace. It's like I just have this whole sense that he's just doing so, so well.
Mm-hmm. He is doing well.
Yes, I know, but he's confirming it, you know. It's just like, wow, that's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, that is. Absolutely.
You know, when I was...
Confirming with all of us. No, go ahead.
Well, it just reminded me of something. When I was in second year in Bible college, we got to go on a missions trip. So I went to Ecuador, and the year before, the team who went to this same village stayed at this, you know, particular facility, hotel, whatever it was. And hotels are nothing like they are here in America. And the people in the apartment buildings behind it were playing with their son. And somehow the son, he was a one-year-old, fell off a balcony, landed on his head on the concrete. And this boy's brains were literally spread all over the concrete. And so the team of Bible students from the over the hotel walked over to where the family was. They laid hands on the boy. They literally put put the brains back into his skull. They prayed over this boy. They spoke in tongues over this boy. They declared life over this boy. And this boy came back to life. And his body completely restored. And the family was totally like transformed. They became born again, all sorts of wonderful things. But we got to go back a year later with our team. So we went out with the family and this little boy a year later. And we all go to an ice cream store and hang out and, you know, just celebrated how faithful God is and how nothing is impossible. Nothing at all is impossible for God.
That's a remarkable story.
Well, it just reminds me of the same thing. I mean, because poor Soren, I mean, his first photo, I don't know whether you saw it with him in with all the bandages and all the tubes and everything else, you know, and then the next picture or in the series is, you know, he's laughing with family and it's just great.
Right.
Just praise God.
That's miracle. That's a miracle because he was thrown 65 feet.
Jeez.
Yeah, that is a miracle. But think of all the people praying for him.
That's a long way. That's longer than a field goal. That's a long way.
Is it? I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was 65 feet. I read that somewhere that it was 65. Am I wrong?
I can't verify or deny that. I thought it was less than that, but even still.
Okay.
It's a lot.
Maybe
yeah.
Long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
No.
Well, do you have anything else you want to share? Do you want to lift up? Well, you've lifted Soren up in prayer. Do you have anything you want to lift up in prayer? You talked about what's going on at your school.
My school. That's different. I would rather focus on Vinny right now because he's going through the throes of chemotherapy, all sorts of things, and then I'll finish with my school, but. My friend Vinny, I asked our Heavenly Father to, raise him up in his hands and heal his tongue. Heavenly Father, we thank you for shrinking the tumor in his body, in the back of his tongue. We praise you for that, Father. You have done wondrous miracles for so many people that I know lately, and I'm grateful to you. And I'm just praying for a full recovery for Vinny. He's a believer. He believes in you, Father. He could use some encouragement. I know he's frightened right now, but he's doing really well. And we need him to just believe and receive, continue receiving from you, Father. I'm envisioning all the time that your light and your love is like lasering that spot where it needs to be done in his body so that it continues to shrink and heal. And we believe and we receive. And we want to lift up his wife, Leia, who's a close friend of mine. And Leia is a beautiful Christian sister of mine, and she is amazing, and he's very fortunate that he has a wife who's an OR recovery nurse to take care of him. And they've been very blessed to stay at a house near the hospital that's 2 hours away from their home. So we're thankful again, Father. You're just blessing them tenfold. And then I guess I'll pray for my school. My school district is going through, just like many other districts across the country probably, where there's marijuana legalized, where it's just the marijuana is getting into the hands of younger and younger people. And we're asking you, Father, to remove the access to all drugs, for that matter, Heavenly Father. We know that the drugs are, it's a form of witchcraft, it's pharmakia. Like prescriptions come from the pharmacy, which is pharmakia, which is witchcraft. And we know that, Father. So I'm going to place in your heart, Father, that it be your will to have President Trump or whoever it is next that comes into play to make those decisions to dissolve any and all agreements with the enemy to have legalization of marijuana or any drug for that matter that they're looking to legalize. Dissolve those agreements, those contracts, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and under the blood of Yeshua. We dissolve those contracts. They are null and void. And all of those contracts will be canceled. They will be put in the garbage. They will be burned so they don't exist anymore, so that we don't make drugs legal everywhere we go, so that kids can get their hands on them and end up hurting themselves, or adults who are overdosing, millions of people overdosing on drugs. Father, those are your children that have been taken from you by the enemy. and we rebuke the enemy's plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Alyssa is talking about answered prayer. I want us to go to John 14, and we're going to pick it up in verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whoever you ask, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus is speaking such intimacy here. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear are not mine, but the Father who sent me. You remember Jesus always said throughout his ministry, he says, I don't say anything unless the Father tells me to say it. How would it be if we live our lives that way? These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not that the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave my commandment, so do I. Arise, let us go from here. So the final calendar offering is for today. June 16th, it's the Hebraic calendar month Sivan 20, 5785. And it's by Bethany Hicks, entitled The Atmosphere You Carry and How to Shift It. Have you ever walked into a room and immediately felt the weight of the atmosphere? Maybe it was thick with tension after an argument, or maybe it carried the joy of laughter and fun. What if I told you that you have the ability to shift atmospheres, whether in your home, workplace, or church? The power of atmospheres. Atmospheres shape environments, and environments determine what can grow. I remember visiting Horseshoe Lake as a child, a beautiful lake in the eastern Sierra Nevada mountain range in California. The lake was surrounded with lush green pines. Years later, I returned to find acres of dead, dry, and brittle trees. The cause? Toxic CO2 had crept into the soil, slowly poisoning the environment. In the same way, spiritual atmospheres affect the soil of our hearts, which then determines what can grow. Jesus' parable of the sower in Matthew 13 illustrates this. Seeds of truth grow best in prepared, healthy soil, while hard or cluttered ground prevents growth. The determining factor for soil is to be healthy is the atmosphere of the soil is exposed to. We're not just affected by atmospheres, we actually contribute to them. We often think of atmospheres as something we passively experience, but the truth is we bring an atmosphere with us wherever we go. What do you carry? Peace or anxiety? Fear or faith? Encouragement or negativity? Consider Saul's transformation in 1 Samuel 10, verses 5 to 6. He encountered the company of prophets who carried a powerful prophetic atmosphere. Simply by getting into their atmosphere, the Spirit of God came upon him and he was changed into a different person. The atmosphere they cultivated shifted him. You have the power to create and shift atmosphere in every area you have authority in. How do we shift atmospheres? When we think of atmospheres, it's easy to see how negative atmospheres can affect us. When my daughter was in the eighth grade, she told me that she was having thoughts of suicide. This admission was completely opposite to the person I knew her to be, and I immediately suspected that she was actually picking up something in the atmosphere. I asked her if she knew of anyone in her class struggling with thoughts of suicide, and she suddenly remembered that there was a boy in her class who had recently been sharing this struggle with some of his classmates. Thankfully, I was able to help her recognize that the thoughts she was having were not her own. She was discerning them in the atmosphere of her class, and therefore she did not have to come into agreement with them. Just as negative atmospheres can spread, the greater reality is that kingdom atmospheres can displace darkness. Here are some biblical examples of this. You remember David when he played his harp? Saul's torment lifted. You'll find that over in 1 Samuel 16. Or Elisha, he called for a musician, and the power of the Lord came upon him. Over in 2 Kings chapter 3. Then you had Paul and Silas who worshipped in prisons, and their chains, as well as everyone else's, fell off. And the guard was all afraid that he'd be killed because of them. I find that over in Acts 16:25. We release what we carry. What we cultivate internally in our hearts, we release externally in the world around us. If we nurture peace, faith, and joy in God's presence, we will shift atmospheres wherever we go. The lesser reality always bows to the greater one. How to be intentional about the atmosphere you carry? Start by asking yourself, what do I release when I walk into a room? If you're unsure, ask a trusted friend how they experience your presence. Then, Take time to work, pray and worship to cultivate an atmosphere of heaven in your own life. This week, pay attention to the environments around you. Are they full of faith or fear? Encouragement or criticism? Where you see darkness, be the shift. Speak life. Pray. Release peace. Your presence carries more influence than you realize. Let's be atmosphere shifters together. You know, I was at lunch this afternoon, and the waitress came up to us and smiled. She had the most contagious smile I've seen, and I just went, "Wow, that smile!" You know, it's so cheap, but it spreads like wildfire. It's contagious. I said, "Thank you so much." And it just, you know, it caused us to smile. She smiled even more, and you could just see it. It just radiated out this atmosphere into the restaurant. And, you know, we all have that capacity. Sometimes it'll be on the inside of you. You'll find like this lady's daughter who sensed, you know, the negative influences on her. If you feel that around you, you can break that. It's so easy to break it. Praise and worship, not buying into it. You have a thought that comes into your head and you're going, "Man, that's really negative or evil or bad." No, that's not me. Devil, you're a liar. Get out of my head. I don't accept those thoughts. I don't accept that projection upon me. And we can take authority in our own mind, in what's going on in our own environment, and not buy into what the collective negativity is. Anyway, I really like today's offering in the calendar, and I want to encourage each of you to make it a habit of picking up the calendar, reading it from time to time. Some of you will get into it and gobble the whole thing up, and some of you will just taste it like a newspaper, but it's definitely got some really good articles, and I encourage you to add it to your spiritual, you know, your what you drink in each day, what you feed yourself with. We take time each week to take communion together, and so if you don't have them already, I'm going to play a song here and give you time to get the elements together, and I'm going to put Tracy Edstrom on the spot to ask her to lead us in communion. Will that work for you, Tracy?
I believe it will. Thank you.
All right. So I'm going to put on some music and you guys can get your elements together.
Word of God, speak.
Oh, my goodness.
Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Holy, 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 holy.
All right, Tracy, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Robert. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to come together as a nation tonight, that we're here in your name and that we're here for your glory. I thank you that we are a family under God as a nation, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you that as we take this Holy Communion, that we are bound together in you, that as we take your body into our own bodies, it is assimilated and we become one body. And as we take your blood into our bodies as your blood, we become one body again with your blood flowing through us, your DNA flowing through us. So I just praise you that we can have the opportunity to reflect on what it means to be your body and to be one with you and with each other. And I want to read from Mark 16:17. As we take this communion, that we would reflect on what we are enabled to do because of the body and the blood of Jesus. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Lord, we thank you for the power and the glory of your word. And with this, we take your body by the bread and your blood by the cup. And we praise you in Jesus' name.
Do you have any thoughts or prayers you want to share on the week, Tracy?
I really loved all the testimonies and the prayers that we've already had tonight. I did listen to the posting, Jeremiah Johnson, that you gave. And I find it very interesting what he was saying about the spirit of Leviathan, that is the accuser of the brethren, and that is the he tears apart communication, and his job and goal is to divide, in accordance with the devil himself, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And interestingly, in my own life, I have several situations. I have a beautiful testimony that there was a situation with a sister in my church, and the devil did just that. He completely turned around things that I was saying, and she didn't hear what I was saying, and she certainly didn't hear what was in my heart, and she didn't talk to me for 2 months. And actually stopped coming to church for a while, and I tried reaching out, and I tried to make amends, and she was unresponsive, and so all I could do was pray, and all I could do was pray.
It's come to that.
Oh, right. It should be like, wow, you know, we do that first, and it's the first thing we do, but anyways, I did pray, but she, 2 months later, it took 2 months, at least. And she, started coming to church again. She didn't say anything to me, but she started coming to church again. So I was praising God for that. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to get in her face. I'm just going to sit back and keep praying, you know, smile, be polite, that kind of thing. And then this last Sunday at church, she actually walked up to me and hugged me, and we embraced each other and cried back and said we were sorry, and nothing that had been previously said even mattered, you know. And so one of the things that Johnson was saying in the presentation was that when Leviathan comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, you know, the best defense we have against him is to stay biblical and to continue to love, and to continue to lift up and pray and let the Lord defend you. And I have another situation in my life right now that we're encouraging a young man who's being accused of something pretty difficult in the courts. And he was convinced by his attorney that he needed to plead guilty so that he wouldn't go to jail. And he didn't want to plead guilty because he wasn't guilty. So anyhow, you know, we're praying with him and working with him through this situation. And so, again, I see the same thing, you know, that Satan is accusing, and we've prayed with him, and we've lifted this up in the courts of heaven, that justice and mercy and righteousness prevails, and we bring that what's in heaven down to earth. And so I can just testify from my own life and what I'm hearing from others, that the devil is hard at work attempting to steal, kill, and destroy and divide. And, you know, Abraham Lincoln, united we stand, divided we fall. Doesn't that come from Ecclesiastes as well? So anyways, and it's the truth, you know, when an enemy prowls and comes in to prey upon people like a wolf, you know, what does he do? He attempts to get someone off by themselves and into he divides them. So he's always trying to divide us, to make us less strong. So my prayer is that we are wise as serpents and gentle as doves, and that we see and hear and discern and understand when the enemy is at work, that we don't wrestle with people and places, but we wrestle with principalities and powers, and to remember who the enemy is, in Jesus' name, and that we have authority and dominion over him. Amen.
Amen. We certainly do. You know, there was something else that Jeremiah Johnson brought out, and he referenced one of his passages concerning 2025 and beyond, Genesis 25. So he was referencing the conflict that we're seeing in Israel, and he contrasted it to two very interesting conflicts in God's family, Abraham's two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. So there's a conflict between the brothers. And then he referenced the conflict between Isaac's son, Jacob, and Esau. So he's talking about this warring. We're in this time of war. Trump is the president in this time of war. So sometimes our enemy is absolutely Leviathan. It absolutely is the devil and of all his minions. But what's way more difficult is when there is a battle between brothers. There's a battle between the family. And boy, that just so requires us to be circumspect, to be humble, to be everything you were with your sister, you know, that rift you guys had and the reconciliation. You know, I come from a large family, so squabbling's pretty pretty common, you know, but navigating our way through it. And you know, even as we fight, you know, sometimes when we fight, we do things that we're not proud of later. And I think that if we can have a righteous anger with God and not sin, it's, you know, it's a real test of God moving in us. Is can we be mad? Can we be angry at the devil? Can we be angry at evil that's affecting a brother or a sister, but not find ourselves being the one who offends? It's a delicate balance, and I think that's why God calls us into intimacy with himself. He calls us into a time of be in my word every day, listen to me, set aside the distractions and listen carefully to how I'm guiding you, because I will guide you. I will guide you by sure steps. I will show you the way to go, and you won't stumble. And his word promises that to us. Thank you, Tracy. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to open up the call for anyone else who has something they want to share. Just unmute yourself and go ahead and share what's on your heart. And Mike and Janik, I'm sorry, I have to can't figure out how come I can't unmute you. So I'm going to have to go up here and unmute everybody. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I did speak to Jean today, earlier, and asked how she and David were doing, and Soren will be home this week. Praise God.
Oh, good.
And, very, very excited. Very excited. He told the doctor the other day, I want to go home now. I'm good. And the doctor said, we got a little more time. We got to keep an eye on you. So, but yeah, he'll be home this week. And I think mom and dad are pretty exhausted with the trips back and forth and taking care of the other three boys. But they're doing well. They're doing well. I did want to ask if we could say a prayer for David, for his continued healing. I feel the need to say something about him. He's a very special man, and he's going through a little troubling time right now, and it would mean a lot.
Absolutely. Would you like me to pray for him?
Would you please?
I'd be happy
to. Some kind of a healing prayer. I do have one, but I get a little choked up, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, do you want to try making it through your healing prayer, or?
I would.
Okay, you go ahead. Okay.
Father God, thank you for your unconditional love. For sending Jesus to save David and to set him free. I surrender myself to your power and grace to sustain and restore him. Loving Father, touch him now with healing hands, as I believe that with your will, it is for him to be well in mind, body, and spirit. Cover him with the most precious blood of Jesus from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. cast out anything that should not be in him, root out any unhealthy or abnormal cells, and multiply the healing ones. Open any blocked arteries and veins, rebuild and replenish any damaged areas. Remove all inflammation and cleanse any infection by the power of Jesus' precious blood. Let the fire of your healing and love pass through his entire body, enriching its function. Touch also his mind and his emotions, even in the deepest recesses of his heart. Saturate his whole being with your presence, joy, and peace. Draw him ever closer to you, every moment of his life, confirming that the Holy Spirit dwells in him, telling him what to do. Amen.
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 Yes. Amen.
Jesus, continue to pray for his healing.
Is there anything, like, could you just, is there anything specific that you could share with us that we should be praying for? I heard you say inflammation, infection, mind, emotions.
Well, he had a brain injury a while back, an aneurysm.
Right.
And he's still fighting and fighting with that battle.
Yeah, it's ups and downs.
And the ups and downs continue. But he really could use the additional prayers in my mind and my heart. And Jean for his support, you know, supporting him like she does.
You know, one thing, Janik, that really struck me this week is, or last week, shall I say, Jean was concerned that the trip had caused him some confusion. But
think
about that. I mean, praise God. That's to take a trip like that, the very fact that he's been sedentary, you know, for so long, and now he's actually taken a trip, it doesn't surprise me that he'd be a little bit disoriented or shaken up because he's getting new stimulus, new activity. So I actually saw that as a positive step. So I'll be happy to pray into that. Because that is,
you know, he's also surrounded by some very active boys, you know.
Yeah, right.
But the trip took her about 3 days because she drove.
Sturgeon Bay to North Carolina.
And so now that they're settled in a little bit, it's still, you know, I think it's stressful for both of them because they're not used to being around these active children. And so, you know, it's a disruption if his, like you said, his sedentary life. But I think the activity is good, but I think he wants to go home to his home where he's comfortable and where he knows, you know, it's his home. It's his
place. Knows the environment. Sure.
Right.
Well, Heavenly Father, we lift up David to you, Lord. We just thank you for the positive growth and the positive healing that he's had consistently over the months. Lord, we thank you that you've even given him the capacity to be on this road trip. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that it's activating new parts of his brain, that it's causing brain-body integration that he hasn't had the opportunity to experience in the first part of his healing. So we just bless it, Lord. We bless you in his activities. We bless you in what is happening. Lord, we thank you that you'll use this time and this travel and this time with his grandchildren to absolutely reconnect parts of the brain and the heart to bring connections of wholeness and clarity in his mind. We just break off confusion. We break off any of the devil's attempts to continue to afflict him in any way. We say, no, God has touched him, has healed him, has restored him, and we stand on that with him. We agree together with Gene that Dave is restored. And we just give you praise, glory, and honor, Lord, that we will see and do see your finished work in him, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's such wonderful people.
Robert, what was the...
I'm sorry?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
No, I was going to ask a question about Robert, something he said earlier, but I'd rather you go ahead. That's okay.
No, I'm very happy that I've been blessed to be in their lives. It's just, an amazing thing that God brings you to the people that need to be with you and around you and influence your life. It's just amazing that God has led us to this friendship.
He changed our lives.
Did you have something to say, Mike? We couldn't quite hear it.
No, he said he's fine.
Okay, good. And Alyssa, did you have a question?
I was going to ask you, just all this praying over the healing, it reminded me of your story earlier. It's bringing me back full circle. Remind me what the circumstances were of the students with you. Like, what was the connection?
Oh,
were you working for the university?
No, at Caris Bible College, in your second year, your first year, you drink in the Word. You're 4 hours a day in the Word. You're expected to read the Bible through. There's no other textbook. And in the second year, you learn what your testimony is. So you learn to share with others how you came into relationship with Jesus, how and if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you start giving little practice talks. So starts with 2 minutes, then 4 minutes, then 8 minutes. And the goal of all of that is that there is a missions team and they send you out to various different countries to go on a 10-day mission. So there was a mission that the teams go to in Ecuador, in Salinas, which is out by the coast. The year before I went, so I went in 2018, they were in 2017, the team was staying at the hotel that they stay at, and in the apartments behind the hotel, and in South America, a lot of buildings are just concrete. They're just concrete. They have open windows and doors. So the parents were playing with their child on the second floor. The child fell off the balcony. He's a one-year-old child, and he landed on his head. So that was the year before I came. The team prayed over him, brought him back to life, healed him, put all his brains back in his skull. And the family was just so transformed. I mean, it led them to Jesus, just such a miracle in their life. And so a year later, we came. And so I was just part of the team that was there to get to celebrate a full recovery of this boy. And it's just beautiful. Just beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you. That is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes full circle. I mean, they put this boy's brains back together and healed. It's amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. So we just declare
like
the same.
Like living in biblical times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Matthew, would you like to sing us out with a closing tone or a prayer? We haven't heard from you in a while, brother.
Sure. Father Yahweh. Yeshua, thank you. Praise you for tonight. Thank you for each and every person. Thank you for all the needs that have been submitted to you. Thank you that you are completing and answering those prayers. Father, I just declare and decree great healing upon each and every human and expose the evil one that would try to cause division and that you would your heart, your love will begin to move and shift things for the greater of your glory.
When the time goes on forevermore, we sing to the King forevermore. Glory to the Lamb, glory to the Lamb. For He is good, good and faithful is He, for whom we worship Him. Sing to Him, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For sing victory and praise.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all so much for being on the call this evening, this week. I bless you. I encourage you. Trust that God walks with you, that you are the atmosphere that changes those in your world. So until next week, God bless you all.
God bless. Thank you.
God bless you, brothers and sisters.
Bye.